Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome, welcome, dear listener, to another episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Brandt, and joined this week by JD Short.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hello, JD. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going all right. You know, I think I said I just before we started recording this podcast, I had spilt coffee all over everything. So it's a bit of... Hoping that everything goes all right, you know, just coffee and interfaces don't mix.
Yeah. Yes, it's this has been a rough one, dear listener, for JD and I to get. JD, it's your first episode back. Where were we on? Episode four. In season five. This week's episode, dear listener, is going to be on, the title is Clones, Copies, Replicas and Reissues. We're going to be talking around a lot of our favorite clones of things that have come out recently, and our demo of the week is going to be inspired by that as well. We'll get onto that shortly. First of all, I have to this is our second go at recording this this podcast the next day.
It's our own reissue.
Yeah,
a reissue of an unreleased pedal. So
exactly, yeah. This is in many ways our clone of the episode that we successfully recorded yesterday. So when JD and I got on the audio call yesterday to do this, dear listener, JD had just, as he said, just spilt a cup of coffee all over his computer and interface, and we had to spend a sort of solid 45 minutes with JD rummaging around to find other interfaces, other mic options.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would be surprised to know that I have multiple interfaces. Like, I'm currently looking at three, so you know.
Yeah. So that was fun, and we ended up having to like restart the session so many times just because trying to get we use a platform called Zencaster, dear listener, for this. Trying to get it to recognize all and change all the new interface settings is a little bit of an effort with this platform. And by the time we got it working, I didn't realize that it had reset all of my audio settings to just be receiving my MacBook Pro microphone. So this morning when I came to edit, I had my audio just being a MacBook Pro laptop mic, and JD had actually settled on using like a gaming headset with a little microphone on it, and I was just like, oh, I gave JD a shout, and I was like, can we try again?
this is for you, dear listener. This is us doing another. I mean, the thing is, like, you think about, we do the main pod and then the Patreon episode. And then also, because we're mates outside of this, we have about 45 to an hour's worth of chat just generally happening around that. So it's, you know, it's a solid 3 hours or so of us, like, actually sitting down and talking, that you know, we're happily going to do again, you know. And like,
we'll see how many of these the points that we cover again. Before we get into the main topic, I'm getting very excited because we are now almost exactly slightly less than a month away from the Birmingham Guitar Show, or the Guitar Show. as it's called, dear listener, which is great because NAMM's happened, NAMM's finished. We've had all the rigmarole about that. I didn't get to go. Neither did JD. No. And I'm very excited about the guitar show is the biggest UK one. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly felt like the biggest for me. Like, it's the one where, like, last year when we went, it was certainly the one that had probably the most manufacturers there. Yeah. as well as a lot of shops and, you know, things. And it's such a, it's so different than NAMM because it's much more of a, you can pick up and play sort of stuff. And it's not like a closed trade show like NAMM is theoretically and everything else. And it's just really fun. It's just really fun to see everyone. It honestly has a lot of the same vibes as NAMM without being super weird and sort of American about everything. Where I always think about it as, like, quick story. Just I lived in New Zealand for a while, and they used to show Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay, but they would show it like the Big Brother, like after hours sort of thing, where it's just like an open feed. So there's none of the production value and everything. And then when I came back to the US and started watching like Hell's Kitchen just on, you know, regular television, it was, you know, every sort of lead in and outro of the like ad break was just like, bah, 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 you know, it's like this giant, like everything being super over the top all over the place. And you're like, this is really off-putting after not having been here for a bit. Or the other relevant thing for this week, at least, is they did the same thing with like the Super Bowl and the playoffs. Cause I'd watch playoffs like Monday mornings. NFL playoff games, and they had a shot from a blimp above the stadium, so the Goodyear blimp in the US, and it was, because in New Zealand they don't have nearly as many ad breaks, they just cut to like the footage from the blimp just sort of like circling the stadium. And it was really surprising how much is just mostly commercials when you're watching the NFL,
right? So, well, yeah, the, I mean, the thing about like the Birmingham show tends to also have a lot of small brands. I know you get lots of small brands at NAMM, but I feel like everyone's trying to present a very, very sort of professional. It's very slick now.
Yeah.
Birmingham's a little bit more sawdust on the floor, which I'm a big fan of. Also, we were talking to a lot of our, or we put something in the Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. JD and I are going to be there from Friday night. If you want to meet up, come and hang out, have a beer with us on Friday night, that will be lovely. Or, you know, the Saturday night, we'll obviously be around then. But if you are in the UK and you're traveling to the Birmingham Guitar Show, get on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook, find that thread and let us know. I'll message on there saying what pub we're in, I guess, when we get there on Friday. I think we're going to go up slightly early. We might help because I've got so many like brands that I work with and friends, like KMA are going to be there, Great Eastern Effects are there, Ashdown are there, so you know, I might help out a bit setting up at some of those stands, but then we'll go off and get far too drunk for a show the next morning.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like last year we did a pretty good job of the getting drunk before, because I think we also went up early and we went to the pub. We were in the pub by 5 or so, and we were just like waiting for everyone else to get there. And we had a solid few hours of drinking before anyone else got there. And to be fair, we are legends and champions, but also, it makes shows really interesting. And also that, you know, we'll get breakfast at the place that's in a gym, which is the only vegan food south of Birmingham, feels like.
Totally forgot. Well, it's not even Birmingham anymore. It's Solihull, which is the middle of nowhere. And me and JD are both vegan, dear listeners. So trying to find food as soon as you're in a suburb outside of a city is always fun.
Yeah.
I am really looking forward to it. I know it's still ages away. I'm just getting excited because we booked hotels and stuff like that. Are there any brands that you're especially looking forward to checking out on? Obviously, we're not doing an entire rundown of that. We want to get on to the main subject. But is there anyone you especially want to check out this year?
Yeah. I mean, I think what's interesting is, so like some of the stuff that's caught my eye is like Sontronics will be there. Like it's a microphone company, UK based microphone company. I really like them. They're lovely people. I think it's just interesting that they're there.
Right.
You know, at a guitar show, and and I have, you know, several of their mics and I like them. Also, ACS, you know, like all the hearing protection stuff. It's a good time to come and get your molds made, you know, so you don't, if you're not going to book something at Boots or
that is
whatever.
Really, that is really true. I'd say that's one of, it's almost one of the biggest advantages of the guitar show is that, is those, it's so important, dear listener. It's the sort of thing you really should invest in. I know it, if you haven't invested in it yet, it might seem like a weird thing to spend money on, like a power supply or,
yeah,
you know, something like that, because you're looking at like whatever it is, 130 quid for a set of molded earplugs. But they do show deals when they're there, so it's cheaper to get them at the show. You get them done by a professional at the show rather than it being, you know, it's fine. You can go into a Boots. Does Boots translate to the US?
I imagine no one's from the US is coming to the Birmingham.
No, I know, but where would you, do they have that set up in the US?
Not quite as ingrained. So it'd be more like a CVS or Walgreens, but there's usually not. Like, you probably wouldn't go get molds done at one of those, and then you would just get it done at, you know, like the place that's doing your molds.
Fair enough. So. Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, it's fine going into those Boots places, but it's really nice to go to ACS at a stand at a guitar show and actually speak to them. Like, we spoke about this last year when we did the rundown of the show, but me and JD both went and got molds done, and I ended up speaking to the guy who actually set up the company. He did my molds. Mm. We had he turned out to be like a session bass player who used to work for the BBC and played Ashdown amps of all things. So,
yeah.
So you get to kind of meet the people, and you got some weird like sci-fi, because I had my molds done traditionally, which is where they inject you with polyfiller basically,
yeah,
and then pull it out along with most of the hairs inside your skull. But you had some sort of weird sci-fi laser thing injected into your ear.
Yeah, so it was a 3D 3D model of your ear. So it was by a company called Daikin Pro Audio. Daikin Custom Audio. So DCA, sorry. And they basically, I think it's proprietary. I might be wrong about that, but it's basically they just did like the 3D image in the ear canal of the ear, everything. I didn't have anything actually sort of in my ear while it was happening. So if that's something that, you know, you're a bit weirded out by, it's great. But then they have a partnership with ACS, so I have my in-ears or ACS in-ears, and I don't know if anyone here, like in the UK, is a member of the Musicians Union, but the Musicians Union also has a partnership with ACS where you can get discounted discounted earplugs from them. So I think they're pretty cheap, so instead of like 150 or something, you end up with like 50-60 pounds, I think. Wow. for those. So if you're already a member of the Musician Union, it's worth checking out, which I am, and you know, probably should just get those. But I have my in-ears, but it would be nice to have another set of just sort of take along whilst I'm watching other bands play.
Yeah, I have my set for other bands right here, a little ACS set, if you're watching on YouTube, dear listener. And I got like a 15 decibel cut. They come with a little string and a little clip, so you can clip that onto the back of your shirt, which is very handy because I used to lose them all the time when I take them out. And then, you know, you even get to choose the color. I chose black. But they're really good, and you can choose the decibel amount. I went for 15, which is actually what they recommend for, I think, drummers, but I just found 17, which is 17 decibel cut, which is what they recommend for guitarists. It cuts so much high end because it's not a flat cut.
Mm.
That I found I could hear bass really well, which was great. But if I was ever playing a track where I really needed cues from the guitars, there was so much less high end getting through that I just couldn't hear well enough. So the 15s do really well, and I still get a nice even spread. I can hear the cymbals, I can hear the guitars, but it gives the bass a little boost, which is quite nice. It's almost like free monitoring without having in-ear monitors for bass players exclusively.
Yeah.
For guitarists, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you're done. But for bass.
I think that either it's one of the great things about going to shows. And it's one of those things, for years of going to NAMM and everything, I'd always been like, oh, I'm going to get my molds done, because, you know, all the companies usually run specials and stuff there too. And then I just never got around to it. Also, just come back to the question, like some of the other, I mean, really, I'm excited to hang out with most of our friends,
yeah.
Brands and stuff. So, you know, so like everyone at like Hampstead and Fidelity and, you know, and James's Home of Tone and, you know, like sort of all the, just getting all the gang back together and stuff as far as like sort of official like exhibitors and things like that there. I'd also actually, I think I saw Fuzz Rocious is there. Do you think, is Ryan coming over?
No, they must be distributed by someone. Yeah. It must be like a distributor, because I find that the Birmingham show puts down every brand there. So if Audio Distribution Group are there, who distribute for KMA, for example, but they distribute for like Diamond Pedals, for Earthquaker Devices, like loads of pedal brands. And they'll list every single pedal brand. It doesn't mean they're there. It just means that ADG might have a couple of their pedals in their booth.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, personally, the stuff it probably goes without saying, like, you know, love to see Goliath and Thorpey and, you know, and Redbeard and sort of all those guys, just because they're great. And it's one of the best bits of shows is if you haven't met them, meet them. But also, I mean, for us who know and love them, it's just real fun to be able to like hang out with our buds.
Goliath are working on a new really simple overdrive that's kind of bass voiced. I think in many ways it's accidentally similar to the Blooms, which we're going to talk about in the demo this week, which kind of inspired our Clones, Copies, Replicas and Reissues title. But I think he was working on his sort of separately, and then Blooms came out and he was like, oh, damn it.
I mean,
have that, and that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's stuff in the pipeline, but I'm still thinking about that that DOD that we played in the London show. That I think it was such a good pedal that, I mean, that might be one that I don't know that I can say no twice.
Yeah,
unless it's definitely like, hold up, I promise you the version we talked about with all the tweaks is coming in a very short time frame, and I'll be like, okay, it's fine, but I might still just get both because they were cheap. Also, I'm really excited to maybe try some more Reverend stuff, because the booth Reverend had last year was, I mean, they had loads of stuff, and so that's always, it's always cool. I'm sort of on like a little bit of a Reverend kick again, because Michelle and Dago Cello won a Grammy. So I'm a bit like, I was like, oh yeah. And then her like new album's fantastic anyway. So it's like, oh. It's not super bassy necessarily, like certainly compared to like Plantation Lullabies and stuff. But I was like, oh, it's just, oh, maybe I'll play a Michelle and Dago Cello Reverend somehow.
Yeah, we'll see. It's always lovely for Reverend to be there, because Ken Hass, who's been on the podcast a few times, is coming over. He always comes over to like all the shows, wherever you are, dear listener. He's always there. He always seems to make the effort to come to guitar shows in any country, which is really cool. I guess sort of testament to the fact that he started life as an on the road guitar salesman for brands. So he still puts in all that effort, all that face time, and he's such a lovely guy. Do you know, the last time JD he was on Guitar Nerds, he podcasted without headphones with us, and he didn't tell me and you never notice on a call, because it's just like the audio we hear, dear listeners, is very different from, you know, what's in a finished edited podcast. And of course, because he didn't wear headphones, his mic was picking up all of us as well as him. So when I got his audio back, I had echoes of it. It was like unusable. So I had to go through every sentence that he spoke and then cut it off at the start and the end to silence it. The podcast was like an hour and 10 minutes, and I had to do that for every set. It was like a day's work. It was it was awful. But he is lovely.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people like at the show that I want to see. And I know yeah, we just got excited about talking about the show. You know, like, I mean, the other thing, just quickly again, is like ATB, you know, like PMT will be there, like sort of all the sort of like shops and stuff. ATB always has really cool stuff.
If you like vintage, wonderful stuff, ATB is so good. I do find them a little overpriced, but then they're almost as compared to what, like a private seller? Yeah, I guess they are a little bit. But, you know, they have such an incredible range of vintage stuff and rare vintage stuff that it's lovely to see. Were they the ones that had that 5-string Zon that we nearly went halves on?
No, it wasn't. No, I think that was PMT, or maybe it was Absolute. I think it was
Fair Deal, as well.
Yeah. I know it was one of the shops I could actually buy something from.
Right.
As opposed, like, ATB is great to look at and for me to go, oh, neat. I didn't even know that there's a 1934 version of that. Huh. That's cool. You know, whereas like everyone else is like, ooh, yeah, that's right. We didn't. Yeah. I am really excited about sort of seeing what secondhand guitars and stuff like some of the shops bring, because it's, I don't know. Oh, I think I'm really jonesing for a Spectre, specifically a Euro.
You put an offer in one last time. I did. The first time where we spent ages, dear listener, on the last one talking about Spectre, and I think it talked you into actually putting in an offer on a Euro.
The thing is, like, this show just does that, you know, like the amount where I'm like, no, it's fine. I've got so much other stuff happening in my life right now, and I definitely don't need this. And then we talk about it. I'm like, oh, you know, I just want that thing more. And I feel like every time I'm on this show, I end up with way more than like way more stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do need some sort of, you know, like amp top Euro rack reverb unit. So,
well, that actually segues quite nicely into what we wanted to talk about, our main topic for this week, dear listener: clones, copies, replicas, and reissues. I thought this week we'd talk about some of our favorite copies, some of our favorite effects pedals that have been copies and reissues, guitars, things like that. So, you know, I'm thinking companies like Warm Audio, Greco, you know, even JHS. And of course, the demo this week, our little sound sample for this week, is going to be the Earthquaker Devices Blooms, which is very much a Tube Screamer. So we'll talk a bit about Tube Screamers as we come into it. But I guess the thing that inspired this was Behringer's new announcement, because Behringer have done a great job of over the last few years, not only making those very, very affordable little plastic pedals that are always pretty good rough approximations normally of Boss pedals, you know, for like £20, and they break, they don't last, but certainly if you're just playing at home, you can't really fault the stuff. It's fine for what it is. But in recent years, they've started making great vintage, like, reissues heavily inspired by vintage gear that has become so expensive it's very difficult for the average person to pick it up. Like, we were talking about the Mutron octave divider, which you have, JD. You think it's one of that's the best octave pedal in the world, but it goes for like £500 plus, right?
Yeah, it's easily £500, and I think most of the ones I've seen now have been closer to £800. You know, at which point you're really speaking, you know, about like, oh, I could easily get a really good guitar for this price.
I mean, a Boss OC2, like the old 80s OC2, still only go for £150.
Yeah.
You know, and that I feel like they get spoken about in the same breath. Like, the big ones for me in the octave, like sub-octave world, so the octave divider, the Boss OC2, and probably the DOD Meatbox, the original one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The Meatbox is such a weird one for me that it got... a cult following for being as good, in the sense that I think we both almost bought one at the show last year, and you know, like the reissue, but I was like, why would I do this? I remember when it came out and I was like, don't really need this, do I? You know, I mean, which has never stopped me before, so I mean, let's face it. But anyway, that's just my own little thought process of being like, that's such a weird pedal to be so expensive.
Yeah. The meat box is fantastic, but I find like it's great. It's too much. Like there's so much. Yeah. So everyone I know who has one's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's the pedal that sound guys hate. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Like things like the octave divider and the OC2, they're like the usable versions of what the meat box is. But
yeah. Yeah. It's like it's just all the sub stuff that you can't actually hear.
Yeah.
You know, like that was the design spec, was just like, just ruin speakers and like bowels, you know.
Exactly. But anyway, so I wanted to talk about this thing, the new thing that Behringer have put out, which is their Spring Reverberation 636. I can't at all remember what you said, JD.
It's a Grampian 636. About as tricksy naming wise as, you know, all the plug-in like amp models, where it's like, oh, I didn't know that this was this Citrus Terror. You know, like, what could that be?
Yeah, absolutely. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Stringjoy Guitar Strings, the world's first true guitar string custom shop. The thing that I love most about Stringjoy is just their attention to detail, their dedication to making their strings the best in the world. And that's a labor-intensive task that they don't shy away from. Stringjoy are also innovative. They're always looking for new ways to make strings better. As guitar players, we've become so used to all the shortfalls of commercially available strings that we stopped even looking for them to be better, last longer, intonate well, easily. Stringjoy bring all of that to every pack of strings they make, and they're available almost as readily as any other generically made guitar string. Stringjoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock Stringjoy yet, ask them to. The Sheriff instead of stuff like that. I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, this is, it's great. It's like it's in Eurorack format, so it's a real reverb unit, a real spring reverb, dear listener. Perfect if you have a wonderful sounding amplifier that doesn't have reverb. This will sit gorgeously on the top of your amp in that lovely sort of angle of Eurorack gear with wood paneling, dark wood paneling on the sides, a gorgeous brushed aluminium front, simple control. I mean, it's huge, but simple controls, just three rotary knobs and an overload, a big red overload button, as well as you've got a couple of patch inputs there as well. This is incredibly cool, a real spring reverb unit. It's 175 British pounds. You know, it's probably less than that in dollars. And
yeah,
like, why wouldn't you get this? Well, unless you have a good reverb on your amp, but
yeah, or, you know, do you only use pedals, or you don't like eighth of an inch mini jack plug? You know, but I think this unit for me is really, you know, because I've spoken before about, like, I have a bit of like distrust, quasi disdain for like a lot of Behringer stuff, but that's traditionally because it always felt like basically they make something that looks like something else. So they, you know, you take something that's already in existence, repackage it and sort of like, basically it's like trade dress versus like trademarks and stuff like that. So, you know, just you make something look like something else specifically so that people go, oh, clearly that's that thing. I'm just going to buy that. And then the guts are totally different and it's just like a rough approximation. This being like a real reverb unit, like real spring reverb unit, and have it, you know, like a mechanical reverb, it for that price is, it's a no-brainer. It looks great. I'm really stoked for it, and I hope it's, you know, maybe it's a bit of like a turn company-wise, because, you know, I mean, Behringer exists to make low-cost products like that and fill that niche like that, and I'm thrilled for it. And we'll talk, we'll probably talk about this, but like, I always have a bit, it's always a bit like murky for me, like when, like with clones and recreations and sort of like reissues or stuff, it's like, if I don't know, it feels a bit like when you see like Ramon shirts at a posh shop, right?
Yeah,
you know, like some designer version of a Nirvana shirt now, and you're like,
sure,
well, is that what it's meant to be, you know? So right. Yeah, but it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. Maybe you're right. I guess I've never thought about it like that before. We didn't even discuss it like this when we did it before, but it's a really good point. Is almost that this is an actual spring reverb unit. It's a proper pedal. Because I understand, I don't know if their version of the octave divider, is it just a digital octave rather than the proper analog circuit?
I would need to look it up again, but I'm pretty sure that, yes, that's it. Like, it
looks like the pedal. It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, or it sounds like it, but it's, I mean, because the thing about that pedal is, and for me, why it's such a revered pedal is it's very analog-y, but also the tone octave down that it produces to me just sounds like a musical tone, as opposed to like the OC2, which is a bit synthy and does a different thing.
Yeah.
So and to be fair, I haven't actually played the Behringer one, but it's just, you know, it's my knee jerk reaction and stuff. But the difference, another difference for me though, too, is that with this unit, it's a unit I hadn't heard of, and it's a unit from a company that doesn't exist and make these anymore. Whereas like Mutron still exists, like, and they still have their version of that pedal at the same time. Like you could, so it's not like, oh, this, it's like uncovering an archive. It's,
yeah.
So where this feels like, oh, here's a piece of gear that I would love to have, but there's only 2,000 of them in the world, and they're 70 years old, and who knows what state they're in. So, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also, you know, moving off of Behringer, Mutron are a company that get copied a lot, because I think when we talk about copies, other than like real, you know, borderline court case copies, which is what Behringer do, Warm Audio are the other brand that have really stepped up to the plate for doing that sort of thing, because they also do their Mutation Phaser 2, which is their Mutron version of the three knob version of the optical phase shifter. But they're making, the whole idea with Warm Audio is they're making things from the ground up to be like the old, the things that are inspired by them.
Yeah. Well, because they're doing like recreation. So like taking the same circuit with the same or close to the same components and making them, because a lot of the price of the Mutron, those old Mutrons now, is that one, the cases are amazing. And they're just cool and vibey, but they're also, you know, 45, 50 years old in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Now. And, you know, I know we talked about it a bit. I have the current version of the phaser that Mutron makes, or the Mutron Phaser 2. Yeah, same name.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
And that's on my board at rehearsal. It's great. I think you'd really dig it, in that it's one of those phasers that, for me, it's a bit much, which I think broadly a lot of phasers are, because, you know, we did talk about this probably in way too much detail, but like, I like what I really like with modulation is sort of a bit of shimmer and width and movement up high, and right. where, and that works really well on a lot of phasers. But what happens too is that to get the depth right, that gets so big and boomy in the low end, like when it sweeps down that far, that it just I haven't found the right use case for it yet. And it's really good, but these, yeah, like the Mutron phasers were always, of all the Mutron pedals, were always the ones you could sort of semi reasonably get affordably.
Right. What does affordably mean when you talk about vintage pedals?
Yeah. Well, I mean, up until like lockdowns, when everything just exploded price wise. You used to be able to get them for, I would routinely see them for like 175,
really?
225 US. Whereas now I think you'd be lucky to get one under 250 pounds, and more than likely you're looking at 300 up, which is, I think, certainly a bit much for a phaser for me.
Right. Yeah.
But that's sort of, you know, the prices you would see of the envelope, which is sort of the classic Mutron, was like three something always. And I used to have their wah, volume wah pedal, which was great, but was also all their pedals are absolutely massive, like pedal board layout destroyers, but super, super cool and vibey. And I love everything about them, you right. know? Yeah. And so like for Warm Audio, I think the Warm Audio one is roughly the same size, if not a bit smaller.
Like it could be smaller. I mean, I don't have a picture of it in context. I'm just looking at it on their website, but it's got, you know, the two screws that are next to it.
Yeah.
Like I'm kind of using that for context, the yeah. size of the foot switch. It's definitely bigger, but I don't know if it's as big as I think they've maybe yeah. downsized it slightly.
Yeah,
but it does look great. And $149 MSRP, which is, I think, a very aggressive price. But Warm Audio pedals actually aren't expensive.
No. And I think for me, too, like Warm Audio coming out with this pedal and their version of the OCD, the ODD, which I thought was brilliant because they did that right as they announced they were winding down.
Yeah.
Like when, you know.
Right,
like,
it's full tone stuff.
Yeah.
And full tone are going to be back now as well. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. So it's a bit like, whoops. I mean, there are several like of those OCD clones out there as well. Like Fuzz Rocious does a really, really good one.
Yeah. It doesn't do it with the actual fonts.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is these very much look exactly the same. But it was when Warm Audio came out with this pedal that made me really start to rethink my position on sort of the Behringer side of things,
right?
Because I was like, why am I okay with Warm Audio doing this and not Behringer? And that's a conversation that we can have in person and over beers at the guitar show. But it's just like one of those things where I was like, oh, it's all my hangups. And I think it's because Warm Audio came from the studio. Like most of their gear was clones of studio stuff.
Yeah, which microphones and things like that.
Yeah, and some studio preamps and all of that stuff, which I was like, oh, these are really good. And, you know, you can get like a decent, you know, like FET condenser mic for...
Yeah, you can get an LA-2A compressor for a few hundred quid instead of, you know, a few thousand pounds.
And I was kind of thinking, oh, that's... Like, yeah, like, what is it? And I think, you know, the key thing for me is that they're doing a recreation of the pedal, not a pedal that looks like a pedal.
Right.
You know, and like that. But that being said, you know, like, so, yeah. And it's also a bit weird because it's, you know, like Mutron doesn't currently make the three knob version of the phaser, because the one I have is like, it's in this style housing. This is the octave divider. If you're watching the video, but it's
more a standard chassis, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the standard chassis, but it's got like they all have the double switches, which I do not like, pedal builders. because it is incredibly difficult to gig with these, I find, because two foot switches next to each other, and so you have to have like a giant tall button for the on and off.
I think I spoke about this maybe even on last week's podcast with Matt. It's one of the things that constantly keeps the JHS I can't remember what they call it, the King Penguin. I can't remember what
the Emperor.
Yeah. The is what keeps it off my board. I love the sound of that pedal. It's absolutely fantastic vibrato chorus, but it's in a single format and it has the tap tempo right next to the on off button. And I tend to have like my vibrato separate from my switcher, so I could just sort of, you know, turn it on and off with any patch. And I'm like, well, I can't use this because I'm going to activate the tap tempo every time I turn it on and off. Like, and it's just those things. So many of those JHS pedals that are like that, they're just designed for bedroom players. Like, they're not.
Yeah.
There's no practical application here, because if you actually on a stage moving around and have to just slam your foot on something, you can't with single space foot pedals with two buttons.
But yeah,
that's my.
Yeah, I mean,
my whining about.
I mean, the same. So unless anyone who takes more than three steps during a set, you know, sort of needs, you know, because like John Entwistle never moved, you know, and so like maybe he'd be fine with it, but also he's a big guy. He probably
wouldn't. Probably,
yeah.
Pointy shoes, though.
Pointy shoes. Yeah.
The benefit of pointy shoes there.
Like Six Nations style. You know, like you see that image that always goes around anytime the rugby's on, where it's just like a bunch of dudes standing around in like bootcut jeans with their brown.
Yeah.
All this. Oh,
amazing.
It's the pumpkin spice latte for dudes. You know, here. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is indeed. Now, I wanted to talk about another type of pedal, which I think is probably the most copied and cloned effects pedal. So we were talking like pedals that get copied. Obviously, the Klon. There are tons of Klons, from, you know, the Electro Harmonix Soul Food to the Warm Audio. What did they call their one? The Centavo, which Mark Kazao Kadawaki swears by, podcast listener Mark. He even sold his real Klon for this one because he thinks it sounds, you know, at least equally as good. But anyway, so, you know, Klons always, Klon clones always there. Big Muffs, there are, you know, umpteen Big Muff clones, from the JHS Muffaletta to the KMA Machines Chief Disruptor. And what's the other one that you use, Jay?
The Thorpey Fallout.
Which is a great muffle tone.
It's, to me, it's literally the epitome of like what a muff can be. And so it's just a bit like, well, everything else is what I don't mind having beer spilled on.
And kind of joining those, certainly last year, I feel like last year was a big year for it. It was the year of the rat, as we all said, was the Proco rat. Everyone started making copies of the Proco rat. And I feel like those are the big ones. They're the ones that always get copied. But the one that seems to get copied more than anything else, I think, is the Tube Screamer. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Isotope and Native Instruments, two companies who provide the bulk of the recording and editing tools used by Guitar Nerds. If you have a home studio, or if you're thinking about getting into demo recording from home, then Isotope and Native Instruments provide the tools that you need to make premium quality recordings with ease and with virtually no equipment other than your guitar and laptop. Isotope make all the voice editing and audio repair tools that I use for the podcast each week, and Native Instruments Guitar Rig 7 is one of the best, most comprehensive collections of virtual effects and guitar amplifiers available anywhere. Use discount code NERDS10 on any product in the Isotope and Native Instruments catalog for 10% off their fantastic range of tools. Everyone's got an iteration of this Tube Screamer, and that's, I think, probably because it's the most usable overdrive, just a slightly mid-bumped, low-gain overdrive. You know, metal guys use it because it running into high gain amps, you don't want a high gain pedal. You just want something that's pushing a little bit more, giving a little bit. It's great for blues guys because into a clean amp, it gives you that sort of edge of breakup tone. And it's the sort of, like, a mid-pushed drive is the sort of drive that a bass player wants a lot of the time. I mean, often bass players want scoop stuff. Now, if you're not in metal bands, then you probably want a little bit of a bump on your overdrive. And whilst you can't use a tube screamer, a traditional tube screamer, because it doesn't have the broadness of EQ, you can use something like the Earthquaker Devices Blooms, which is the pedal we're going to talk about for this week's sound sample. And the Blooms from Earthquaker Devices was originally supposed to be just like a limited edition one-off for one of their retailers. I don't know who they did. Jamie Stillman mentioned it in a video, but he didn't say which retailer. But then after they passed it around Earthquaker Devices shop, offices, everyone liked it so much they decided to make it a permanent edition. And the reason, now this is a bass voiced version of the Plume, so a bass voiced tube screamer. The reason they've done a bass voiced one is because the Plumes, the normal one, the guitar one, was so popular for bass players. Anyway, bass players loved the Plumes because it was great, it was simple, and it was actually kind of full range. But what they've done with the Blooms is just make it a little bit of a broader frequency spectrum. So great as well if you're if you downtune a lot as a guitar player, if you're a baritone player, bass six players, things like that. But it is just a fantastic sounding, very simple tube screamer with three modes, and no clean blend, incidentally, which isn't always an essential for a bass overdrive. I think that gets everyone seems to think that you need a clean blend, but if the pedal's voiced correctly for this sort of thing in the first place, it's going to sound great anyway.
Yeah, certainly when we're talking about using it as like a boost or sort of an always on, it's not really if you're not using it as a drive.
Yeah,
and you certainly don't need a clean blend. I also, just a plug for makers out there, I think clean blends are great, and I do love them. They're not the be-all, end-all. If I had my preference, it would always just be sort of a crossover more so than a clean blend.
Choose where that frequency was being boosted. Yeah,
yeah, or just sort of say, yeah. Well, that, and so like with the tube screamer thing, if there was a place where I could, if the mid was on a scale where I could. You know, adjust where the midpoint is, that would be lovely. And again, I'm sure there's 5,000 variants of a tube screamer that do this, but like of a tube screamer, that's what I want, is like where is the mid, where is the sort of hump, ideally how big is the Q, but then also but just like a crossover, so that I could say only apply the distorted signal or whatever affected signal above a certain point, or
right
below a certain point, maybe even. So
now, one of the things we spoke about on the original recording of this was the tube screamer that you used, which I heard very, very little of ahead of last night. Like, yeah. I was aware when it came out a few years ago, but it really didn't, it wasn't something I especially got into. It was the one that Ibanez did with Korg.
Well, they did it with Newtube, which is, I think, Korg owns now. So it's right. The tube screamer, like new tube, what is it actually called? New tube screamer, NU, like cool metal. But new tube is a solid.
Back and up a little bit. That's out of shot, just for the people. There you go.
Yeah, great. Sorry.
That's right.
But the new tube is basically like a solid state, a solid state network that goes instead of a valve. So it's not actually valve, and Korg put a lot of these. They came out with a range of scents when they first sort of, I think this is true, like acquired new tube, like the technology, so that they put a lot of stuff in their scent. So they actually had ostensibly valve front ends in their synthesizers without actually having a valve front end and already delicate thing. But this tube screamer is great because it's also got like a clean. It's got a clean blend on it, but in an interesting position. So I looked at the schematic since we did this. So this is better information for everybody in that the mix for the clean and overdrive comes after the drive section, sort of before So there's like there. Well, there's sort of like an initial gain stage, and then it splits this signal, so it runs in parallel, and then goes into clean and overdrive, and then sort of comes back with your tone stack and everything like that. So it's all sort of, obviously it's just a really interesting path. So it's like it's not like the clean blends that sort of start at the input where two perfect parallel signals. This one has stuff done to it. The other one doesn't have anything, and you just combine them at the end. It sort of has like an initial stage, then splits out, then comes back, and then you kind of do that. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
And do you find so it's obviously better voiced for bass, but does it still sound enough like a tube screamer? Like, because it seems like there's a lot of different stuff going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing is, I feel like a lot of it is just like, it just feels like a sort of a posh tube screamer. Like this one isn't necessarily bass voiced. It's just,
blend helps, but
it's a bit more open. The other thing is it can also run at 9 or 18 volts. So certainly at 18, I like it better in that it just has a bit more headroom and stuff, which is what I tend to find on bass with when I use tube screamers that aren't really sort of like bog standard tube screamers that aren't thought about for bass, that they always just feel a bit muffled to me. Like it feels a bit like a blanket on the tone. It's, you know, which can be nice and can work sometimes, but that's usually not what I'm going for. So yeah, I love tube screamers. I just never actually use them for anything.
Well, I noticed that the new tube one goes for like, for not a lot of money. Like I think I was seeing them go for like $120, something like that, like £100, £120, something like that.
I mean, I think those are pretty good prices on those, because I think I've certainly seen them at like $200.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
I remembered that wrong.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's probably right, because I think there are also ones where I think it's my favorite tube screamer,
right?
But they also, you know, if you're going to have a tube screamer, you sort of want the green box, you know, and you sort of want like the, this is a tube screamer. Like, this doesn't feel like a tube screamer. It feels just like one of those weird Ibanez pedals, like when they'll do those like magical pedals of, well, this is great as a totally one-off sort of thing. And if it wasn't called tube screamer, I bet it'd be like a secret, like sort of a secret weapon pedal. But because it's a tube screamer, it's like, well, it's not really a, you know, it doesn't really have the new old stock chip of the TS blah blah blah, you know, like it's got that sort of like comic book geek bias against it. So
I see. Yeah, it looks like they actually do go for around $200. There's one for £140 at the moment, but it looks like normally they do go for a couple of hundred quid. Yeah,
I mean, I am trying to buy a Spectre, so if anyone's in the market for a new tube, just hit me up. It's fine.
Yes. Well, anyway, coming back to the Earthquake Advices Blooms, I really liked this pedal. We're going to play the sound sample now so you can hear what it sounds like. I have demoed it on bass, obviously, because it is a bass pedal, dear listener. So as I say, really simple level master tone stack, which is, you know, doesn't really do much. And the gain stage, which has a really broad frequency spectrum. Then it has three modes, three different clipping modes, which were great because in the middle it's wide open, really great for sort of low gain preamp stuff. But then in either of the other modes, one or three, the gain stage is much more increased, so you can get some really nice fuzzy tones, which is kind of cool. Like pretty versatile if you were just using this in a studio and you wanted both of those sounds, you can just do it with the flick of a switch and a slight adjust of your gain knob, which was great. I played this demo in with a 1969 Precision bass, and I was running it into a Sansamp VT preamp pedal, which was voiced around the, is it VB4 or V4B? Yeah.
I think VB4 was in Rise of Skywalker, or is that no? No, that's like woo.
Very
yeah, thanks.
Slightly post B-15 sort of tone, but anyway, this is the Blooms. This is what it sounds like. I run the first half of this demo using it in a sort of cranked Ampeg style way, just like a bit preampy, a little bit again. Then the second half, a bit more fuzzy. The Earthquaker Devices Blooms. It's like £100, this pedal. Earthquaker Devices do a great job of that. Like being like, here's this incredible, super boutique, wicked pedal, lovingly built, and it's no money at all.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I love Earthquaker. They always make great stuff. They're really good people. I had a NAMM booth across from them one year, and it's a lot of fun, good peeps.
Jamie Stewen is a really nice guy.
Yeah, I love the idea of being able to like actually go into shops and get something as good as an Earthquaker pedal too. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but they did. You know, we've spoken about it a bunch, but they were kind of. I do think of them as being like up. It was them and JHS that were the two boutique companies that suddenly became absolutely massive. JHS, you know, have done, I guess, a better job of dominating the internet. But Earthquaker Devices, for me, have always made better pedals. Not that you compare them to JHS. I think JHS do a great job, but seeing as you know, the title of this episode is Clones, Copies, Replicas, and Reissues, JHS certainly, basically, more often than not, are trying to recreate existing things, old things, trying to bring very expensive things to the masses in a JHS format. They never emulate them visually, but certainly sonically.
Yeah.
That's almost always what Josh is trying to do. Whereas Earthquaker Devices are often trying to create something new. I appreciate what I'm saying that whilst talking about a Tube Screamer copy, but they do loads of interesting things as well, like the Astral Destiny, the Space Spiral, the Data Corruptor, you know, the Rainbow Machine. They're always trying to like, here's some stuff that no one's ever done before. I love them for that as a company.
Yeah, I think they're great. Also, just to the sound sample, I certainly, the first part was my favorite bass tone, but what's really interesting is because from when I heard it yesterday, I have different headphones on that have more treble in them, and it was a bit it's just interesting hearing the like slight difference on like how you listen back to things. But I think it's such a good usable tone, you know, like, and that's a pedal that would work for really anything, as you said before, like anything that certainly has extended low frequency. So if you're on, you know, 7-string guitar or just detuned or any of that, like it feels really, really good and usable. It sounds like a great bass tone that would sit in loads of different styles. Like if you're going to have like a bass overdrive, something like that, if not the Blooms is great.
That's kind of it. I think I spend the most money on overdrives, and I'm so fussy with them, and I'm always getting something new and trying to find something new and looking for that tone. And it's the sort of thing that I look to brands that are making, like, you know, £300 overdrives with all these features. I'm like, yeah, maybe that's the solution. And then you get something like this, which is at the very affordable end of effects pedals now, like a £100 pedal, and it's I'm not sure what else I could possibly want. It sounds very, very good.
Yeah, and it and like everything else is like such diminishing returns. I mean, think about like when the Soul Food came out and how we were all just completely blown away by how good that pedal is, and it's no money. Yeah, it's no money either. And the only time I see them used, I'm always just wanting to be like, this is someone who just didn't think this pedal did enough.
Right.
You know, like it was, you know, it was just like, it's like, well, it doesn't change my sound totally. Or like, I can't play Deftones with it. And you're like, yeah, that's yeah. I mean, you can't, but also the earth's round. So it's fine.
Yes, quite. Now, we are coming to the end of this week's podcast now, JD. So me and JD are going to head over to Patreon, dear listener, patreon.com/ Guitar Nerds. You can check out the Patreon page to learn how you can become a member. You get an extra episode every week, as well as access to a back catalogue, and a back catalogue of years and years. I've no idea how much is on there now. Way over 500 episodes. Tons and tons of stuff is there. Before I do, I want to thank all of our top tier, our $10 tier Patreon supporters, because they're the best. So thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, to Rocket Rob Patterson, to Phil Sadler, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Anton Fryant, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, John Conaway, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Hizau Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Chris Franklin, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and of course, Moog Gravit. You're all absolutely wonderful people. I also saw, JD, that Carl Harris got a new guitar this week. Do you see that? I think I saw the news for that.
Oh, it's good.
It was a Les Paul, dear listener, but it's what is the name of the color? Is it Cardinal Red? I don't know what that red is called.
I think that sounds right. I was going to go look real quick, but yeah. I mean, let's just go with Cardinal Red. It's fine.
I think it's, sorry if I'm wrong, Carl Harris. I love that color. That is my favorite Gibson color. Like it's almost like a post box red. Like it's a really like a functional, I don't know, sort of working man's red. it's a good color, but I really liked it. I think it's a great.
Yeah. Yeah, congrats. Very excited for you. I mean, genuinely, it's very good. Everyone else, share your stuff.
What stuff have you got? Lots of people. We're going to go talk. Well, we'll see. We're going to head over to the Patreon episode now. But it was really interesting to see on the Facebook group that what people have been buying for the start of this year. We've seen HX1s, IR2s, Katanas, and ES8s have been the stuff people have been posting recently.
Mm.
Do let us know, dear listener, what new stuff you're getting for 2024. We're going to head over onto the Patreon now. So thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.